You ready to get in the Word?
Yes.
All right. Who said, let's do it? Who said that? I love it, Jace. Is everybody ready to get in the Word? Amen. Let's do it. Okay. All right. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14 and Psalms chapter 77. Turn to Matthew. I always like to have you. So I'm encouraging you. I'm still old school. I love bringing my Bible. I love carrying my Bible to church. And I've got several translations, of course. But I love bringing the Bible to church. I know some people nowadays, the younger generation, I'm kind of on that, the teeter-totter of the younger generation. I'm not old yet, amen. But I still like bringing my Word, but some people just use their phone, and that's okay too. But I always like to have you turn to at least a couple of passages of Scripture in Old Testament, New Testament. So Matthew 14 and Psalm 77. And I want to tell you, I know there's several guys in here that teach and preach the Word of God, so they're going to understand what I'm saying here. Is a lot of people think that just, you know, a pastor gets up and gives a Sunday morning talk, all right? Sharing the Word of God is more than a talk, amen? And so there's a lot of weight that goes with it. And so I had an older pastor tell me once time, because I was talking to him about teaching and preaching the Word of God, and I was asking, this was back in my younger days, and I said, how do you do it? What do you do? And he said, well, Mark, you need to pray and ask the Lord to, basically this is how he told me. He said, ask the Lord to give you a burden for something from the Word of God. And some of you that has taught and preached the Word of God understand what I'm talking about. And he said, when you get that burden from the Lord, then you're going to have to release it to the congregation or to whoever's going to hear it. And this particular pastor pastored, he did several church services at his church, so they had multiple services. And he said, the hardest thing for me is when I release that burden, then I got to go do another church service, and I got to get that burden back to release it. By the way, some of you know this, when you release that burden, then what I want to do on Sunday is go home and take a nap after I release that burden. So I've got a burden this morning for something that the Lord's put on my heart. Of course, I've had a month to pray, I was telling Jade on the way to church this morning, this is my burden before we get into the Word. And as I have, took off, had a sabbatical this whole month of July, and just praying and knowing what's going on in our society today, what's going on in our world, what's going on in our nation, and what the Lord showed me is what the enemy is doing right now at this moment. The enemy, and I don't want to give him, I'm going to talk a little bit what the enemy is doing, because we need to have some strategies, right,
yes,
against the enemy. But what the enemy is releasing right now is that, and his schemes and strategies haven't changed. This goes back plumb to the Garden of Eden. But what he is releasing right now is a spirit of doubt like never before. And I'm talking a spirit of doubt over everything that is God and holy. And here's this, it's not just when we think of that, we think it's just affecting people in the world. No, it's affecting people in the church, the ones that aren't grounded in the Word of God. Okay, and so we overcome. And so what people are doubting and doubting and doubting and over. And so that's the title of this message today, is overcoming doubt. But you overcome a spirit of doubt by faith in God's Word and the authority of His Word. This Word has to govern your life. I think I was looking at Tim, because Tim's right in front of me. Tim shared something on social media of a pastor that was sharing something, and somebody had asked him, Pastor, which way do you lean? Talking about, in the society today, everybody's leaning this way, left, leaning this way, right, wherever. And this pastor's whole point was, I stand on the Word of God. So this is what we got to be standing on. You can't be leaning anywhere. This is what we stand on. This should govern your life. Amen? I mean, and you might be thinking, let me just, and I know, everybody in here, you got to have your head literally in the sand if you don't know what's going on in the society and the world today. But I don't want this to sound like I'm giving the enemy any credit, but he is very good at his strategies and schemes. And he is so good at releasing this spirit of doubt. We have people that don't even know if they're male or female. We have people that, and this one's even in the church, We don't know that the holy union of marriage covenant is between a husband and a wife. And it's causing church splits today. It's happening in our own hometown. And we always thought, no, this is all East Coast, West Coast. No, it's right here in Western Oklahoma. And so, you know, as all this is going on, you know, I get all fired up and I'm like, I want to just shout at the darkness and shout at the darkness and shout at the darkness. And the Holy Spirit told me this, and Mark, I don't need you shouting at the darkness. I need you to turn the light on.
Amen.
And so that's what I as your pastor, I want to bring you the Word of God. This is what we stand upon. And then I want you to take it out in wherever your circles of influence and flip the switch. Turn the light on. Because the shouting at the darkness, all that does is push people further and further into darkness. Jada gave me a great analogy on the way to church this morning. She goes, Mark, it's like the north wind. You know, when you're shouting condemnation and shouting at the darkness and shouting this and shouting this and even telling them the truth, but you're shouting it to the darkness, is what it does, it's like the north wind. They just keep bundling up and keep bundling up. But if you turn the light on and turn some heat up, then they start taking those clothes off. Amen. And so that's what we've got to do as Christians. We have got to turn the light on. So doubt, and we're going to talk about this over. How many of you ever had doubt? Okay, everyone. Okay, if you're walking and breathing, you've had doubts before. So doubt is not exclusive to the weak in faith or the faint-hearted. Even great men and women of faith, such as Abraham, Sarah, Peter, and Thomas, had moments of doubt in their walks of faith. In our spiritual journey, doubt is not necessarily the absence of faith, but rather a questioning of faith. It isn't innately destructive, but rather it can be an integral part of our journey towards spiritual growth and maturity. However, okay, it's okay to doubt, as long as you take those doubts to Jesus. However, if doubt becomes a catalyst leading us away from God, it risks becoming a sin. So doubt can lead to unbelief. I'm going to say that again. If doubt becomes a catalyst leading us away from God, it risks becoming a sin. Doubt can lead to unbelief. And unbelief is a sin. Doubting is not a sin as long as you take that doubt to Jesus. As long as you take that doubt to Jesus. As long as you take that doubt to Jesus. And you got to take it to His Word. Okay. Everybody tracking with me? Most of you know this scripture. If you've been in church any length of time, the Hebrews 11:6, we quote it all the time. Verse 6, but I want to read verse 5. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Well, let's look at verse 6 first. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So it takes faith to please God. Doubt doesn't please God. Faith pleases God. All right? But as I was studying this, I wanted to look, I always look at the context, because Bible interprets Bible, and I want you to show something. I think the thing that's on God's prophetic time calendar that's about to happen, that's going to make COVID look like a walk in the park, is the rapture of the church. And so when I looked at verse 5, this made me think of the rapture of the church, because it says, by faith, Enoch, because there's precedent of this in the Old Testament of the rapture. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? It's because he walked by faith. He didn't walk in doubt. He walked in faith. Noah. Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, Noah walked by faith during his day. And there was all kinds of wickedness happening in his day. So I believe that the next thing that's on God's prophetic time calendar, and I love listening to Bible prophecy, but guys, we're so close to the rapture of the church, and it's time to walk by faith and not in doubt. It's time to get right with God. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says, for we are not unaware of His schemes. And so I'll just, as your pastor, that's one of my jobs, is to teach you the Word of God. Teach you that we're not going to be unaware of the enemies. This is the scripture. We're not aware of Satan's devices. We're not unaware of it. We're not unaware of his schemes. It's all through the scripture. That's why we have the Word of God. You can go plumb back to the book of Genesis, and that's where doubt started. What what the enemy told Adam and Eve was, has God really said? And they didn't let this govern their lives. And that's how the fall happened. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is an awesome chapter. Deuteronomy is an awesome book, too. By the way, we're going to look at this here later in this message. Probably get to about 2 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. Later in this message is when Jesus defeated the enemy in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4 is what we're going to look at. What did he say? He said, it is written. He quoted this back at the enemy, back at the devil. And when you go study that, what Jesus was quoting back to the enemy was the book of Deuteronomy. So I want to throw in a scripture from Deuteronomy. The first part of Deuteronomy, the verses 1 through 14, deals with us walking in obedience or walking in faith. And the last part of that chapter deals with anybody that walks in disobedience. And so when you walk in disobedience, it's when you willfully disobey the word of God. Shannon, there's Shannon and Rebel. Was I just talking about y'all and you was in church? I looked right past you, dude. I am so sorry. I was like, there's Rebel. There's Rebel right there. Sorry, Rebel. I was talking about you, didn't even know you was in church today. Amen. Just saw him. I was like, wow, okay. So here's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 66. It says this, when you walk in disobedience, when you walk in doubt, it says this, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. I don't want to walk like that. I want to walk by faith. Amen. I don't want my life to hang in doubt. I don't want to be walking with the spirit of fear hanging over my head. And I want to have that blessed assurance. And everybody said, amen. Okay. I'm just giving you some scripture. We're going to get to Matthew 14 here in just a second in Psalm 77. James 1, verses 5 through 7, talks about doubt. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So what basically this is saying, the apostle James is saying, take your doubts to God. Take it to the Lord. Don't let it sit there and just keep building and building and building and you try to figure it out on yourself. Take your doubts to the Lord and he will give you wisdom. And everybody said, amen. Here's another scripture, Romans 14, verse 23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. I'm just going to share this in another way. I can come up here, and I encourage all of our church to come up here and have communion. It's available for everybody, and then we have special times as a church to do it as well. But I encourage everyone to come up here on Sundays and have communion. You can come up here and have communion, and it not mean anything. But when you mix it with faith, it means something. Yes. And basically it says when you come up, so sometimes you can eat communion without faith. Yes. And don't do it like that. That's what it's saying. Amen. For whatever is not from faith is sin. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. We got to start calling sin, sin. Amen. And that's what this Bible points out. This Bible, and it's God's not being a prude. God just put boundaries on life and guardrails on life and boundaries to keep us safe because he's a good father. And he wants us to enjoy this life. And if we get outside of those boundaries, that's where sickness, disease, and all kinds of evil things can happen. Did God cause it? No, you did because you opened the door up to it. Because you're not living your life by this word. And everybody said, amen. Everybody learning something today?
Yes.
Because here's how faith comes. Faith, turning the light on, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to know the word. We're living in a day and hour that you've got to know it like you've never known it before. We've always had to know it, you know. But the enemy is releasing all kinds of doubt and confusion. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. This confusion and all the chaos that's being stirred up is by the enemy. And I believe it's because the rapture of the church is just about to happen, folks. And it says there's going to be a great falling away. And what I'm telling you, this is happening in the church. There's a great falling away where people are starting to doubt God and his word. Even churches. even whole denominations. This is not the day and the hour to doubt. Matthew chapter 14, this is the main scripture I want to get to. This is my main text. And most of, if you've been in church, you've learned this in Sunday school. You've seen it. You've seen it. Remember the flannel boards, or what do you call them? You know, sticking Peter up there, and he's walking on the water. And so this is where Peter walks on water. And I love this. Did you know he is the only disciple that walked on water? I wonder what that felt like. That is incredible. I'm gonna show you something. Matt, sometimes we read these stories and we forget about the miracle that's involved in it, and the awe and the wonder of it. Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night," so this is between 3 and 6 p.m., a.m., I should say, between 3 and 6 a.m., fourth watch of the night, "Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear." Now, I want to say something to you right here, just a little takeaway. Here's a little golden nugget from God's Word. When you are walking in fear, you're not going to recognize God. You won't ever recognize him if you've got a spirit of fear upon you. You're never going to, but when you walk by faith, you'll recognize him. But if you're walking in fear, you're not going to recognize the Lord. Verse 27 says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" That passage, that "do not be afraid," is all through the Word of God. "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" And I just had to sit and soak on that and just think about that. I was like, "Do what?" And I'm sure the other 11 disciples are going, "Peter, what are you thinking?" Okay. "So he said to him," Jesus says, "'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid." Here comes that spirit of fear again. "And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I'm going to say. God knows that we're human. And the Bible says he never leaves us nor forsakes us, even in our moments of doubt. "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, truly, you are the Son of God.'" And here, and I'm going to just, maybe you haven't ever thought this way, but this is how I've thought growing up when I read this story. I thought, you know, the reason why Peter did that is because he was selfish, and he knew the boat was about to go under. And so he was like, "Jesus, come to me. You know, Jesus bid me to come. I'm going to come to you because this boat's about to go under, and I'm not going to die like the rest of my buddies. You know, so ask me to come out." That's what I always thought. And then I got thinking, as I was studying this, I was got thinking, no, Peter was an experienced fisherman. He'd been out on the Sea of Galilee before. He knew the winds, and, you know, these guys were experienced sailors. They knew stuff. It wasn't that. And I was like, So I had to dig a little bit further. I was like, "Okay, God, I've always thought that. So then tell me what it really was. I mean, why did Peter was the one that got out of the boat and walked to Jesus?" And this is what the Lord showed me. In the Jewish culture, when a rabbi, it was something that, and this goes back into the Gospels, when he said, "Matthew, follow me, Peter, follow me," is when a rabbi picked guys to follow him, what he was basically telling them, "I'm going to teach you things, and whatever I show you and teach you, you can do too." So Peter's like, he's in the boat, and he's like, "I see my rabbi. I know it's him now. Got over my fear. That's him, and he's walking on water, so I can do that too." And here he came. Now, here's the deal. Peter, I'm getting chicken skin up here when I just said that, is Peter, because Peter had already, Jesus had sent them out two by two. Peter had already healed the sick, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, did all this in the name of Jesus, like his rabbi, because he'd seen his rabbi do those things as well. So when he saw his rabbi walking on water, he's like, "Rabbi, tell me to come to you." And Rabbi Jesus said, "Come." And he walked on water. But when he got his eyes on his circumstances and situation, he's wasn't walking in faith, but here's the deal, guys. Peter walked on water. Woo! I can't wait to talk to Peter one day. Say, Peter, how was that? What did that feel like? Was it like concrete underneath it? Was it squishy? You know, what was going on? But through this passage, here's the problem with doubting. Doubt grows when we forget Jesus' words. Jesus said, come. As soon as Peter got his eyes on the stuff around him going on, the wind and the seas and the storm and everything, that's when he began to sink. So doubt grows. This is when doubt grows. I'm going to teach you how doubt grows, and we're going to stop doubt. We're going to overcome doubt here in just a second. Doubt grows when we get our eyes on our circumstances, like Peter when he got his eyes on the storm and everything around him. Doubt grows when we get our eyes on what's going on in society. We start listening to them. And you start saying, well, maybe they ought to be a female. Maybe they ought to be. No. They were created female. They're a female from God's word. Okay? Doubt grows when our hearts are hard to what God is doing. Now, let me explain this, because when you read this account in the other gospels, there's something that the Mark points out, which Mark is my favorite book of the Bible, by the way. That's a joke. Maybe you'll get it at lunchtime today. Yeah. Mark chapter 6, verses 51 through 52, it says this, because doubt grows when our hearts are hard to what God is doing. It says, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, just like what we read in Matthew. But in verse 52, Mark says, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. See, Jesus had just multiplied the bread and the fish right before this had happened. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. I believe in miracles. We're going to see miracles here at this church. You're going to see miracles in your daily life if you're walking with Jesus. But the deal is, it's not about the miracle. It's about that miracle leading them to Jesus. And so they were just caught up in the loaves and the fishes is what they were caught. They weren't caught up in that miracle was leading them to Jesus being the Son of God. And that's how their heart was hardened. So don't let you can go from miracle to miracle to miracle and your heart still be hardened because you don't know who God is. Because that's what a miracle is supposed to be leading you to, is to God. Amen? Amen. So here's what doubt and unbelief. So there's basically, if you're taking notes, there's basically four things that I've kind of summed up to what doubt can do, how doubt can grow in you. Number one is doubt. You doubt Jesus himself. Number two is you doubt the power of Jesus within yourself. You know, even though Jesus told you can go heal the sick, well, you doubt it in yourself. Number three, you doubt your own faith. That's where a lot of people are at, doubting your own faith in the Lord. Or number four, you doubt what you are asking for is really God's will for you. And how you know what God's will is for you is by spending time with him and spending time in his word. So doubt versus unbelief. I got to talk about this for just a second. Doubt is questioning what you believe, all right? Doubt is questioning what you believe. And Jesus is okay with that. Number two, which is not a number, another one. Number two is unbelief is a determined refusal to believe. All right, so they're two different things. Now, doubt can lead to unbelief, and we don't want that to happen. So doubt, it's a struggle faced by believers when they say, I can't believe, I need more proof. And it springs from an honest, troubled mind and a broken heart, constantly seeking light amidst the darkness. One of the disciples we're going to look at here in a little bit was Doubting Thomas in John chapter 20. But unbelief, the difference about unbelief is this. Unbelief, it's an act of the will. Unbelievers remain content with darkness, often declaring, I wouldn't believe despite the evidence. I'll give you an example. Someone I know that's caught up in the homosexual lifestyle right now, and they are saying, if God comes down and tells me, I will change. He already did. Thank you, Janice. He already did. It's already right there. The reason why you're saying that is because you don't want to submit your life to this. And when you submit your life to this, then the Holy Spirit can go to work and take, if that desire is there in you, okay, because I don't doubt that. We're all born in sin. All right, somebody said, well, I was born with it. Well, yeah, you were, because we were all born in sin. All born in sin. But what will take that out of you is when you get in this word and you say, God, I know your word says this, but I have this desire in my heart. Take this desire out of me now in Jesus' name. And you know who the great deliverer is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He will take it out. Some of you may have dealt with that in here. And guys, it goes with anything, adultery, whatever, having an affair, all right? I'm married to one woman, and I'm going to stay that way. And why? Is because this word says that. I govern my life according to this word. I don't want you to think, well, Pastor Mark's just that. He's harping on, you know, homosexuals and transgender and all that. No, it's everything underneath the sun, guys. You've got to line yourselves up with this word. All right? And here's the deal. If that's happened to you, you can repent. God can restore. That's the glory, and that's the grace that we're living in right now. Grace is not a license to keep sinning, though. Okay? All right. Is everybody good? Okay, good. Okay. So it's important to remember that Jesus extends his hand to doubters, aiding them in their search for truth. But he who shows little tolerance for unbelief, a stubborn and willful refusal to accept the light of God's love and truth, that's unbelief, guys. But he shows little tolerance to that. All right? Everybody's talking about, well, you need to be more tolerant. No, Jesus is not. This is not. It doesn't tolerate that. It's sin. And the reason why it's sin is because it hurts people. God is a God of love. That's why he put up those guardrails and those boundaries. And everybody said, amen. Okay. So doubt, here's something else. And I'm going to tell a little story on me. Doubt arises when your expectations do not align with your experiences. I'm going to say that again. Doubt arises when your expectations do not align with your experiences. How many of you ever had that happen? Okay. So we're all doubters in here today. But we're going to walk out of here overcoming doubt. And there was a time in my life where I could tell a lot of different stories here, but I'm going to tell one, and most of you have heard this story before. When doubt arises, when your expectations don't align with your experiences, I had my son, Jaden, went home to be with the Lord when he was 18 months old, okay? I knew Jaden and I had been walking with the Lord a year after we got married, and so before we had children, I knew before I had Taya that I was going to have a daughter. And then I knew before I had Jaden that I was going to have a son. The Lord revealed that to me. But, you know, I'm just going to tell you that. And whenever Taya was in her car seat, because Jaden and I would pray over her in her car seat, every time we had worship music on, Taya was always worshiping. When she was a little bitty baby, God told me, Mark, she is going to be, she's going to lead people in praise and worship. What's she doing today?
Yes.
Okay. Now, so here I've got all this proof, and I've got all this data, and I've got all these experiences with God, and I'm walking with God. And then, God, I have a son. And while he's in the womb, before we ever go get the ultrasound to find out what we're saying, the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, you're having a son. Like, glory to God. And then God said, and here's his scripture, Jeremiah 1:5. And that scripture says, I've called you from the womb to be a prophet unto the nations. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm raising a prophet, you know. And then I'm sitting there thinking, we're going to go outside and play catch, and we're going to have a good time. But while he's playing baseball, he doesn't know it. He's going to be a prophet unto the nations, you know, and I'm going to get to train him in the word and all this stuff. Had all these expectations, and I had an experience with Taya that God was faithful, and then I had this experience here, and then all of a sudden, there was an accident happened, and my son passed away. And I was like, God, I doubt you now. I doubt you. And so there was a dark time of my soul. I can't describe it. Very dark time. And I was doubting God. And at this time, the Lord had already called me in the ministry and all this stuff. And one day I was sitting in where it all came down to me, God, for me, was a choice. Because God gave us a free will. And when we came home from the hospital, and my dad was helping me, and we were making funeral arrangements for Jaden. And I was having this internal struggle. I was keeping the face on, trying to hide it from everybody, even my own family, my own wife, everybody. I was having this internal struggle going on because I was about to just ditch God and all of it and just go somewhere else. And we got home from the hospital, and I went in the bedroom, in Jaden's bedroom, and I sat down, and I didn't know this, but thank God for church family, and I'm going to share this point here in just a second. Thank God for church family. Is I had church family come, and I didn't have somebody sitting there on the bed with me counseling me, but somebody had been in that room and prayed. And I didn't know this, but somebody had sent the whole prayer team of the church that we were attending to pray over our house, to anoint every room, to bless our home, put angels about it. And so I'm sitting on that bed, and I'm like, God, I doubt you. You gave me a word. You gave me Jeremiah 1:5 for God's sake, you know, and he's gone. How does that fulfill anything? And I'm just, this is all internally going on inside of me. And I look up, and right above the doorway, and the sunlight was just coming in just so I could catch it, is somebody had anointed the doorpost with the cross with oil, and I could see it perfectly up there. And I was like, where you at? You know? And I said, I pray over this house too, God. I mean, I was really, it was not good the way I was talking to the Lord. Lord, and this is what the Lord basically told me. He said, Mark, you've got two choices. You got one choice here. And you're at a crossroads of your faith where you're doubting me. And he didn't give me any answers why. He just said, this way, if you make this choice today, what you're thinking in your heart that you're wanting to do, it's not going to go well, son. But if you choose me and choose that I'm still good, I may never tell you why. All this stuff, all these questions that I had, all these answers that I'm wanting, why and all this, but by faith, you're going to have to trust me, and you're going to see him again one day. And it's not just a one day, it's going to be for all of eternity. And all of a sudden, all these scriptures started coming to me. Mark, this life is just a vapor. It's just, you're just here for a short while. This, you know, I'm telling you guys, it was, and I'm making this, you know, real short and brief, but it was a big struggle for me because I was like, but still, God, he's not here, and I don't get to play ball with him. I don't get to play catch with him. I don't get to go to church with him. You know, I don't get to go fishing with him. I don't get to do all these things that I wanted to do. And God says, Mark, trust me. I'm going to restore everything. And I'm like, but I don't know how in the world you're going to do it. God's like, just trust me. You're going to have to walk by faith, son. And trust a God that I have not seen yet. And trust in a heaven that I haven't seen yet. But it's by, go read Hebrews 11. It's by faith that we're looking for that place. And faith is what pleases God. And we got to keep walking by faith. And you overcome doubt by, and this is how I'm just going to bullet down to this. You have to overcome doubt by not allowing it to consume you, but you learn to conquer it and strengthen your faith. Don't let it consume you. Amen. Thank you, Tina. Amen, Lord. Now here, I'm going to give you five things real quick. You thought we were done. I'm going to give you five things real quick that helped me in overcoming doubt. And here's number one, is stay connected. What I mean by that, stay connected to the vine, stay connected to him, and stay connected to his church. Is the church perfect? No. Am I a perfect pastor? No. Are you perfect? No. And if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you're going to ruin it. Okay? But there's no such thing as a perfect church, okay? There's no such thing. And I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm going to tell you, don't put me on no pedestal. But you've got to stay connected to a church family. Find out, and you may not know, you may be here today, and you may be visiting. That's okay, because God's got the perfect place for you. You've got to ask him where you're supposed to get connected at and be connected. I learned that early on as a pastor. I was like, Lord, I want everybody to come to my church. And I realized, no, I just want the people that are supposed to be here. Amen. You know, I don't want everybody. I want the ones that God, you're telling that they're supposed to be here. All right. So stay connected to a church. And this is John. So there's stay connected. Here's John chapter 20. And when I was talking about the doubting Thomas, it says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Everybody say, not with them. Okay. Verse 25 says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands in the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Here's the deal about doubting Thomas. Do not miss the opportunity. It doesn't tell us where he was at, what he was doing, okay? He just wasn't with them. He didn't stay connected after this. The cross happened. Do not miss the opportunity to commune with fellow believers. Isolation can increase doubt, as seen when Thomas, Jesus' disciple, missed a meeting with the other disciples, leading to his increased doubt. Don't miss church. Don't miss assembling. And I understand, I've missed four Sundays, you know, past month, all right? Right? But there's going to be Sundays you're going to miss. You have vacation, you have different things, family things. That's okay. But don't make don't make it a habit of missing church. And everybody said, amen. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord's return is at hand. Amen. So don't miss church. Here's number two. Remember God's works. Remember God's works. Remember God's faithfulness. Even though I was telling you, I was telling off on God, you did it. Taya, boom, 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 and now Jaden. Okay, remember God's works. Keep remembering them. Keep remembering them. Psalm 77, verses 11 and through 13 says, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I'll also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds, your way. O God is in the sanctuary, who is so great a God as our God. You got to remember what God has done. So during times of doubt, we often focus on what isn't happening rather than recalling what God has done. And by reminding ourselves of God's past deeds, we can stoke the fires of our faith and dispel these emotions. And everybody said, amen. Here's the third thing. Recall Jesus' love. Recall Jesus' love. Even though I sat there and I saw that cross, that was what reminded me of Jesus' love for me. Even though I was still mad and angry, even though I didn't understand it, I knew that Jesus, he died for me. He died in my place. And I cannot, I'm like Peter, I can't, you have the words of life. I don't have nowhere else to go. So recall Jesus' love. John 20, verses 27 through 29. I love this about Thomas. He said, then he said, Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, and this is us, guys, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's every one of us in here. We're going to see Jesus one day. And then the fourth thing is to call upon Jesus. There's no particular order. These all need to be happening basically simultaneously. Is call upon Jesus when you're in those moments of doubt. And this is very important, and that's what I was doing in that room that day when I was calling upon the Lord, because I was in a dark time of doubt. And I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. Call upon Jesus. This is what we just read in Matthew chapter 14. It says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Did Jesus say, no, you're not walking in faith. I'm going to let you sink. No, he didn't. Okay. He reached down and he helped. God understands that there's times we're going to walk in doubt, and he's going to be there to help us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I can tell you, the Lord, I can look back now from that moment in that bedroom, the Lord has been with me every step of the way. And I'm not saying there hasn't been times when I haven't doubted again, but God's always been faithful to show up and said, Mark, I'm here. I'm with you. Just trust me. You're going to see him again. We're all going to be together again one day, and we're going to be together for all of eternity. You know what? And, sometimes I think, well, then God, will it make sense then? And and here's what I want to say, does it really matter? You know, because sometimes I think, well, it makes sense then when I get there, and I think heaven is so grand and so awesome, our finite minds can't even understand it. Yeah. And it's not even going to matter, because they're all going to be there, and we're going to have one big family reunion. Here's Matthew 11, verses 2 through 4. John the Baptist had a moment. A lot of times we don't, he probably, I don't know if you ever heard this preached or taught, but John the Baptist having a moment of doubting. And this dude saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus and heard God, even heard the voice of God say, "This is my son." Trust him, believe him. And he heard all this, and the day he's in prison, he's about to be beheaded. I think I'd have doubts too, by the way, okay? All right? And this is also his cousin. If you know, they're cousins, all right, by family anyway. Verse 2 says, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of the disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see.'" Go tell my cousin what you hear and see. The reason why John was doubting at this moment is because he had expectations, just like we all put up on God, that God's going to deliver me right now. And Jesus didn't show up for him. And he left him there in that prison. But Jesus later on said, there's no greater prophet that has ever lived than John the Baptist. That man's got a huge reward in heaven because he was the forerunner of Christ. I just want to show you that scripture today is because even Jesus himself being here on this planet didn't even answer that question of doubt that John the Baptist had. He just basically was saying, trust me, John. Trust what you already heard about me. Trust. Walk by faith. Mark 9, verse 24 out of the Message Bible says, no sooner, and I love this, this is the scripture, the dad that had the son that they couldn't cast the demons out of, and Jesus said this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting, but there's this father there in verse 24, and I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It says, no sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, because Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? He said, then I believe, but help me with my doubts. That's me right there. Lord, I believe, but help me with my doubts. And I think that's all of us, and when this walk by faith. So, but what I want to show you through this scripture today, guys, is doubts come during dark times of the soul, and we all have them. And during these times, we should call upon Jesus during dark times. He doesn't mind if we doubt as long as we look for answers in him. That's the point, and it doesn't lead you to unbelief. Verse 5, a very important one, is speak God's word against the devil. I don't know how many times I've had to remind the enemy of my future with my son. When he brings up these doubts, well, he's not here. He's not here. You didn't get to play catch with him. Well, we're going to get to play catch in heaven. It's going to be a lot better because I'm going to be able to throw 100 mile an hour. You know? you just got to throw this stuff back in the devil's face. All right? When he reminds you of your past or things that God didn't do or whatever, just reminding him of his future. And his future is doomed. But Matthew 4, verses 3 through 4, and we learn something from Jesus when he was tempted, when he had to overcome doubts in the wilderness. It says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Everybody say, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was quoting Deuteronomy, and he did it three times. And I want to tell you, if the Son of God had to quote the Word of God, how much more do we? This is going to sound pretty harsh coming from Pastor Mark on a Sunday morning, but some of us in here need to remove the pacifier out of our mouths and put the sword in our mouth, which is the Word of God, and start speaking, talking to the devil. And how you talk to him is with the Word of God. The first couple in the Garden of Eden were tempted by doubt, but they failed to rebuke the devil with the word of God. In contrast, Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he fought the devil by declaring God's word, and we should follow his example and use the word of God as our shield against doubt. And everybody said amen. Did everybody learn something today? All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And if we can go ahead and tell the ones in the back, the pre-K, the ones that are starting school and stuff, we'll have them come on out here because we're going to pray over all the teachers and the students here in just a little bit. But I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. I want you to close your eyes. And I'm having you do that because this is just something I'm going to ask you between you and the Lord. Is want to make sure before you leave today that you have no doubts that you're saved. God wants you to have, the Lord wants you to have that blessed assurance that you're a child of His. He wants His Spirit to witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And you do that by making a confession of faith. Rebel did that at Falls Creek. He made that confession of faith that he said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And Jesus said, Rebel, you are my son. That simple. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as your pastor today, I want to be have the honor and the privilege of leading you in this prayer. It's a prayer of salvation, leading you in calling on the name of Jesus. So now, even if you are saved today and you know that you are, I want you to repeat this prayer with me and with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. God is good and all the time. If that's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. Meet Jarek, my grandson. And that's your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. Even if you haven't never, if you've never done it before, or even if you want to do it again, we can do that on August the 20th. So I want all the kids to line up here. I want all the teachers to come up here. Anybody that's starting school next week, come up here. If you're going to college, that's you, Grace. You're a senior. Anybody starting school, teachers, everybody.
Our remember verse goes with being strong and brave.
Okay. Do you want to share it?
Okay,
they're going to do it for us? Okay, awesome. That's great. Hey, I'm talking every kid that's going to school better get up here because we're going to pray over you. We got any more teachers, any more students in the house, college students? Nope, okay. We got everybody up here. All right, do what? You're a student? Hey, here's the deal is, some of you saw this on social media. We're talking about students and our teachers today. I just finally graduated from Rhema Bible Correspondence School. Took me 26 years, but I got her done. All right, here we go. All right, so Taya had class back here in pre-K, and they had a memory verse today, and they want to share it with you guys.
Yeah, it's Joshua 1:9, right? What does the first of it go? Be. What's the next one? Good job, Isabella. Strong and brave, because God is with you. With you, with us.
Yeah.
So there, we said they were going to take that to school with them.
Amen. That's a great scripture for this school year. That is. All right, I want you to stretch forth your hands. We're going to pray over our students and our teachers. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you for our teachers and our students today. God, we're praying over them today, God, that they are going to be strong and courageous because you are with them. God, this is going to be an awesome school year for each and every one of them, Lord. I know there's some here, there's some students here, there's also some teachers here that are starting a new chapter, a new school. And so, Lord, I thank you that that transition is going to go smoothly. God, that everything's just going to fall in place. And God, you're going to go before them and prepare the way, Father. And I thank you that every one of them, teachers and student alike, are going to be salt and light in their school systems, Lord. And Lord, they're going to show this world who Jesus really is. And so, God, we speak blessings over them today. We speak your hedge protection over them today. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys are blessed. Give them a big hand clap. Amen. Good job, Rebel. All right, I want everybody to go back to be with your families and stand up. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you guys today. Hi, Lennox. Hello, Skinner. All right. I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And look at somebody and say, I have overcame doubt today. Amen. Walk by faith.